Hi, I'm Susan Schoeffer, your certified divorce coach and custody ally. This module is about social media. Social media has changed the course of divorce, and divorce has changed the course of social media. And I'd like to take some time to talk about this because this is huge when it comes to divorce. When I got divorced way long time ago, decade ago plus, social media wasn't really a big issue. The most that attorneys would ask us for were emails. That's changed. There's Instagram, there's Facebook, Snapchat. There's all different ways that people communicate through social media, and I'd like to take some time to talk about it because I think it's really crucial, and I've seen people lose cases because of social media. You may say, what do you mean by that? Well, social media is really about World Wide Web. You're out there, and anything that you put out on social media can be seen, and it cannot be unseen. So once it's there, it's there. So let me tell you a story about a woman in her 50s whose husband left her for another woman. She was really heated about it and upset, and she posted on social media about her journey with this ex-husband who was leaving her for another woman. She was really upset. A lot of people jumped onto her Facebook page. And then she decided to take the next step, and she posted a letter that she wrote to the other woman, that she literally sent by email. She posted it up on her social media, on her Facebook page. And, okay, she blocked out the woman's name. But she went into an entire rant about this woman and told this woman what she thought of her and what she thought of her ex-husband, and got into details about their lives and how much she ruined her life and her children's lives. And it was pretty lengthy, but it was up on Facebook. I literally counted over 60 comments from other people. You go, girl. You tell them like it is. I was mortified by what I saw. Was this woman upset? She absolutely was. Did she have a right to be upset with her ex-husband? To be? Absolutely. Did she have a right to be upset with this woman? You bet. Did she have a right to put it up on social media? She did. But why? So let's think about that scenario for just a couple seconds. So whose fault was it that her husband was cheating on her? Well, it was her husband. Maybe she should take it up with her husband. Did the other woman even know he was married? I mean, listen, ladies, we know people lie. It's possible that this woman had no idea he was married. Maybe he told her he was already divorced. Who knows what the circumstances were? But here, this woman, this scorned woman, posted a nasty letter that she sent to the other woman and got other people to chime in. Now, when I say she got other people to chime in, let's face it, you put something up on Facebook, it's fuel for fodder. But here's what happens when something like this happens. Children see it. So if you have children, they will see it. You, the poster's children, will see it, and the recipient will see it. And even if this other woman was, you know, homewrecker, as she was referred to this letter. Let's say she was. Now the woman whose home was wrecked, whose husband left her, she looks like a scorned, bitter woman who's now going after somebody. So why do I think that this is not okay? Well, because this could never be unseen. Also, keep in mind something. When you go to court, anything that you don't want to be seen will show up easily, that this Facebook page could be printed out and brought to court. Do you really want that to be something that you want a judge to see? I think not. So something like this really has tentacles to hurt somebody's case, and more importantly, hurt the children if there are children involved. So posting a letter like that is not okay. And I understand that this woman was hurt. And if she wanted to, she could post that letter, maybe meet with a couple girlfriends of hers, close girlfriends. They meet in a coffee shop. And she shows, listen to the letter I sent. I still don't condone it. But that would be where it should stop. Not posting it up on social media, because once it's up there forever. And there's no way to retrieve it. So what I'd like to do now is show you some examples, real examples, of things that I have found on social media where something that somebody shouldn't do, whether it's putting down somebody's children on social media, or threatening your ex on social media, or threatening in-laws on social media, or making blanket statements, or talking about the children's school, whatever it is, you shouldn't say. We will address in the next part of this video. Also, keep in mind, judges are usually very conservative, and I don't mean that politically. What I mean is they really don't have any room for this. And now, and some of you may have encountered this, if you already have an attorney, if you don't, they will ask you, is there anything on social media that you have sent that we should see so that they don't have any surprises from the other side? Or is there anything that your spouse or soon-to-be ex-spouse has said, put on social media so that that can be addressed? Attorneys don't like surprises, and neither do judges. So if you feel compelled to do anything on social media, I have a little bit of a suggestion, and I will toss that out to you at the end of this video. But in the meanwhile, let's take a look at some examples of what you should not do when it comes to social media. Yeah, let me get
that's my clapboard.
And now I want to think what it was, because it was really important. I was thinking, like, what that could be. So now that we've seen a few examples of what not to do, here's the little tidbit that I always suggest, and I know it really works, and that is, when you're angry and you're upset, write your ex a letter, and it doesn't matter how nasty you feel it is. It doesn't matter how mean you think it is. Just spew all the venom, all the hurt, everything he's done to you or she's done to you from soup to nuts. Put it in a letter, an email. Address it to yourself. And hit the send button to yourself. I guarantee the next time you read it, you will be grateful that you didn't send that, but at least you had the opportunity to vent that out. So stay away from social media when it comes to divorce. And if you feel like you can't help yourself, just stay off of it altogether. But in the meanwhile, just send that rant to you. I had a lunch the other day with three attorneys that I know pretty well. And typically when we get together, we talk about getting clients to understand their finances, parental alienation, since that is my area of expertise. We talk about whether clients are dating again, the typical ho-hum things that go hand in hand with divorce. On this particular day, they mentioned to me the big problem that they're running into, and they wanted to address with me with social media. Now, I know that social media has been a problem for a while, and I've talked about it in my modules and webinars. I've talked about it to groups. But I want to address it today because now that the attorneys are talking about it, there's a buzz. Social media is a problem. Now, social media is fabulous. Don't get me wrong. I use social media. I'm in a social media industry. But when it comes to divorce, you really need to be careful. And people make a lot of mistakes when it comes to divorce and social media. When I was divorced over a decade ago, and boy, do I sound curmudgeon this way, over a decade ago. I'm an old timer here to divorce. My attorneys asked me about texts and emails, anything disparaging that I may have sent to my ex-husband and vice versa. And that seemed to be the way to go. I think Facebook was just coming into existence. We were coming off the heels of MySpace. And so it wasn't really about Twitter and Instagram and Facebook the way it is now. And I've noticed over the past few years, there has been such an increase of abuse, bullying, saying things about extended families, employers, new wives, new husbands, children, things that just don't need to be out there. I think it takes some illustration and some discussion because I have found that saying to people, don't put anything up on Facebook that you don't want up there,
really doesn't mean anything. So let's talk a little bit about Facebook. Let's talk about Twitter. Let's talk about Instagram. Let's talk about these social media milieus that, well, they're not exactly intimate. And here's the problem. You're sitting in your bedroom, your living room, late at night, and you decide to put something on Facebook. It feels very intimate. You have a group of people you talk to. But here's the deal, folks. You are on WWW, World Wide Web. What goes up there is, well, the sky's the limit. Anybody can see it. Now, I know you have privacy, this and that. You're going to tell me, Susan, no, the only people who get on my Facebook. But here's the thing. You go in these groups. And these groups are pretty public. Not like the group that I provide for you, which is a private closed group. I'm talking about a lot of these divorce groups. And while they're wonderful, I have nothing bad to say about any of them. It's a wonderful place to commiserate with people going through the same thing that you're going through. The problem arises when you start putting information out there that you shouldn't. And the question is where do we draw the line? Many of the things that I see are spread amongst very well meaning people. They don't realize how disparaging these things are. More importantly, it can get into the hands that you don't want to hold these things, such as your ex or soon-to-be ex. You don't want their attorney to have it, your attorney or a judge to have it. Because here's the thing. If you have never, let me say this again, if you have never said anything disparaging about your ex on Facebook, ever, 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 and then you suddenly do, well, now it's out there. And it doesn't matter what you then say to a judge. When you go to court, and I mentioned this in the module about courts, how to behave in court, court etiquette, what to wear in court, your first and only impression with the judge is that day you are in court. Sometimes people have a two-day trial, but for the most part, you go to divorce one day. Your impression is right there that day. And if your spouse walks in with disparaging things that you have put on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, sending nasty emails, texting everybody he knows terrible things about him, you will not look too favorable to the judge. And even if your ex or soon-to-be ex is doing horrible things to you, you will cancel that out by all of this stuff that goes on Facebook, goes on social media. So let's talk about what to do, what not to do. I want to start with emails. I get it. You are upset. You are angry. Your spouse is pushing every single one of your buttons. That's fine. You want to write your ex the nastiest email. Let him or her know that every terrible thing they've done to you, you want to map it out. I get that. I do it too. We all do that. We want to vent. There's nothing wrong with that, except when you send it to them and now they have it in their hot little hands. I can almost say with absolute assurity that whatever you send, the laundry list of things that you hate about your ex that they've done to you, you have said to them probably 50 times or more. They already know it. This is why you're getting divorced. They already know how you feel. Why do you have to put that in a letter? Why do you have to put it in a letter and send it off to them? Because here's the thing. It will go into the hands of the other side. Now, you want to write that letter. You want to get it out there. You're angry. Terrific. Write it to yourself. And that's my policy. Write the letter to yourself. Send it to yourself. Read it the next morning. I could almost hold a bet with you and win the bet that when you read it the next morning, you will be grateful that you didn't send it out. So nobody says that you can't write the letter. Write it, send it to yourself. Now, how about Twitter? You don't want to put anything on Twitter. Just forget that it exists, because that just gets a whole bunch of people joining in this big basket of apples. And you just don't want that happening. Text can be brutal. There used to be a time where you'd go to court and you would say to the judge, well, he sent me a nasty text and I don't know what to do with it. And the judge would go, okay, well, he did. And then you zombie scroll through the phone and say, here's what it is. Well, it doesn't work that way any longer. Nasty texts get printed out. They come in as evidence to court. So What do you use text for? You have to communicate with your ex. Just the facts. Hey, John, is today the day where you are taking the kids to soccer, or do you need me to do it? Thanks. That's all you need to say. Not, hey, John, if you're not like with your skank, then would you maybe get the kids? But I'm guessing you won't. It's going to be left to me because it always is, because you're a loser. That will get printed out and that will go into the hands of the judge. Judges understand divorce, anger, upset, hurt, hurt pride, hurt feelings. They understand betrayal. You may have been cheated on, lied to, disgraced in the community. They understand every single facet. It doesn't matter. This behavior does not level the playing field. It just makes you look bad. And in some cases, you may be tiptoeing in places that may get you into trouble. And unwillingly, again, I know for a fact that you don't want to do anything on social media that can come back and be misconstrued as vindictive on your part, nasty on your part, foolish. But at the same token, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's. And you want to look as collaborative as possible and less, as least vindictive as possible. So let's talk about some examples. And it doesn't take me long to find some. I pop on some of these divorce groups, and within seconds, I can stumble on a handful. So there's a few I want to share with you that I've just seen very recently, as well as a few that are in the guidebook. And I don't want to have redundancy with the guidebook. And you may say, well, you know, Susan, I could read your guidebook. Why do you have to rehash these? I really feel as though some of these that I've included in the guidebook are really paramount for you to have an understanding of why you can't do some of these and the ramifications of what can happen if you do. So I want to look at the first example. And the person did a lovely job with their coloration. And I appreciate the fact that they tried very hard, and it's purple and pink, and they tried very hard to block out pertinent information, except they have their name. And if you read it, says, does anybody else's husband, ex-husband, more rude when he was around, calling him rude? He needs to get our daughter a day early from him. For some reason, he didn't. I love extra time with my baby, and I try to work it as much as I dislike him. On Valentine's Day, he was supposed to get her, but he didn't because he wasn't well. I don't believe that, but then today, see more. And then they include all the discourse. Now, this may seem benign, and it is if you're sitting around with your girlfriends, having a chit-chat at the local Starbucks or coffee shop. But the reason why this isn't really cool on a site that's not closed, closed private site, absolutely, you can do it, but not this one, because notice I got this. I don't know who this person is. She has her name up here, and she's talking about, you know, when did we get our daughter day early? You know, did it. And she looks like the good parent. I like to be with him. I dislike him. He didn't until the next morning, blah, blah, blah. Elevating herself, putting him down. Then there's discourse. Yeah, she's scratching out things. You know, I can't wait for you. Megan has been scheduled in advance. It's actually important. Well, Robbie, there's Robbie's name. You know, it just goes on and on. And if you notice down in the right-hand corner, there were 98 comments. I didn't print out all 98 comments, but who are these 98 people? Remember I talked about World Wide Web? This person doesn't know 97 people. She may know 10. But yet, she's getting this bandwagon from people who are making comments like, you go, girl, you rock. By all means, you keep your, don't let him see her. Terrible advice. From people she doesn't even know. She doesn't even know where these people are. Okay. And so she's putting it out there, and he can print this if he finds it, and he probably will. And he will say, you know, look what she's saying about me. And she's, look what she's doing. She's posting what our conversation. Not a good thing. Not a good place to be. Don't do it. This is not necessary. Stay off of these kind of groups. And if you do, you can say something. In the event this happens, how do you think I should address it? But she didn't. She dislikes him. She likes the extra time with her daughter. A judge will perceive this as she is willing to possibly keep her daughter away from the ex-husband that she doesn't like. I'm not saying that's how she feels, but that's how it could be perceived. So this is definitely not a post that you would want to do. Now, looking at it at first glance, yeah, well, that doesn't look all that bad, but it actually is. So let's move on to number two. We've already exhausted that one. This one, she has her name up there and there's all kinds of communications. And before she posts, she definitely does a good job of, or so she thinks a good job of getting rid of names. But let's talk about what she says in here. This cracks me up. I closed out our joint checking account, da da da. The kids, him, and the homewrecker were supposed to be vacationing in Florida the whole week. This first email is what was emailed to me when he saw, and there it goes. There it goes. Oh, and there's his first name. Okay. And as you can see, he just gets angrier and angrier, untrue, hurtful things. I really am. And then there's more. Okay. And so you see things where he says, you are such an immature individual. You validate with every move you make the reason why I left you. You have done nothing but harm our kids and think only about money and yourself. It's embarrassing. And I hope you can live with yourself. Well, we'll see what the lawyers have to say about that. Oh my goodness. This is the, now look what he's saying. He's saying terrible things to her. Here's the thing. She's putting it on Facebook and she's making a commentary. So let me tell you where this could go. He said terrible things to her through texts or emails. He did terrible things with a bank account. Leave it right there. Leave it right there. What she does instead, she shares it with a group of strangers. His name is out there. His conversation with her is out there. Information about their bank, although there's no bank account numbers. But there's too much, I don't want to say invasion of privacy, but maybe construed as invasion of privacy. I'm not quite sure, but it doesn't bode her in a good light. So when she goes to court and she wants to say to a judge, I didn't do anything wrong, it doesn't exactly look that way. So that's something that I would steer away from and highly recommend you steer away from, because there's his name. There's his name. You are violating his privacy. He sent you this information, not with the expectation you would post it on Facebook. And you have. Again, he could be wrong. He could be the worst guy on the planet. But then you post something like this, and you post this private discourse between the two of you on Facebook for commentary. And if he prints that out with any of the commentary, like, you go, he's a rat. He's horrible. No wonder you don't want to be with him. Look what he said about you. Yeah, his girlfriend's a homewrecker. I agree. Oh, my goodness. Doesn't bode you well. Don't do it. So we will move on to the next one. See how many of these are? I don't have to spend much time. I go on Facebook and these things just pop out at me. And I don't think it's because I'm a certified divorce coach. I just think people forget exactly where they are going with any of this. And I don't want you to fall prey to this. I really don't. I'd like you to walk into the courtroom the day of your divorce, strong, successful, know what you're talking about. You have your evidence. You come in with no emotion towards your ex. Sure, you love your children and want the best for them, but nothing nasty towards your ex. Just out and out. You know, you want to do right by everyone. So let's move on to the next one. And this is a letter that somebody actually posted. She said, I often struggle being unsure if I imagined my entire relationship or wonder if my husband ever loved me. I've started a box in my basement for all the miscellaneous stuff to find out, blah, blah, blah. And she goes on and on and on about him. And, well, she includes a card that he wrote to her in his handwriting. She gets 44 comments and 14 thumbs up, hearts. If it was flipped, I wonder if this writer, and her name's up here, I can call her by her first name, Patty. I wonder if the scenario was flipped around, how she would feel if he took one of the cards that he sent her, whenever it was, and posted it up on Facebook with a commentary attached to it. To her, it's probably benign. I have hurt feelings. I can't believe this happened to me. He left me and we were married and I thought it was love and look what happened. And here's a card he sent me. Feels very benign, but his lawyer could say, she's on Facebook posting. This is a card he sent her. She posted a card on Facebook. Doesn't look good. Don't do any of that. Imagine how you would feel if he did it or she did it to you. The next one I want you to look at is, and this is interesting. This isn't the poster, but somebody says, having lived through this nightmare, her name is Laura. I mean, she has her name out there, so I can say it. Happy to PM about what we did to secure the rights to my embryos. Okay, and here she has, from the Superior Court of the State of Arizona, in and for the County of Maricopa. She has the case number. She has her name and her ex-husband's name. And you may say to me, well, Susan, it's public record. Anybody could go into the courts and get that information. Absolutely can. But she's posting it on Facebook. She's posting it on Facebook. I can go into my court docket. You can too. I can pull out anything that's in the docket and post it on Facebook. But I don't think my attorneys would like seeing anything about my divorce posted publicly. Somebody wants to go into the records, they can. But there's a difference between somebody makes the effort to go into the records and look at it on their own versus you posting it up on Facebook. Now, this poster, I am sure, just wanted to be helpful. She could have been helpful without showing the actual legal documents. So to err it on the side of caution, I recommend that you don't do that. There are law firms now that have a disclaimer at the bottom of their correspondences that read, no information is to be reproduced and placed on Facebook, social media. How come? Well, guess why? For reasons like this. Too many people bounce emails around. They post them on social media and lawyers end up seeing them in court and they don't want to see them. So something like this is a big no. I highly recommend that somebody does not ever put legal documents or filings up on any social media. Okay, the next one I want to talk about. Isn't this fun? We just find all of these social media postings that are just out there. And in honesty, I found all of these within minutes of each other. So this is not something where I do a tremendous amount of research and it takes me days, weeks, or months. This is minutes that I can just pop on any of these groups and find Facebook postings or Twitter feeds. And if I can see them, anybody else can. All right, so let's move to the next one where she said, anyone else have to deal with this? My soon-to-be ex thinks that somehow he's going to get his hands into a family trust that I'm beneficiary of. We did not send him a settlement, so this crazy ranting is just par for the course with him. On a side note, how does a person learn shame? This bum should be totally ashamed of himself, but isn't. Never wanted to get a job, hasn't gotten one yet, is banking on extorting. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then there is the correspondence. And I had to do two frames because it was pretty extensive and I wanted you to see it. And I'm reading this. The language is hideous. Okay. But what really is disturbing is not only the language, but what she says about him. You know, he's not going to get this. She calls him a bum again. Not a good idea, because the name calling will just find its way into the hands of the judge, I can assure you. And this will not make her look good, no matter how. And she may be the sweetest girl in the land. She's worried about her inheritance. But listen, she's painting him in a bad light. Okay, so the next one you gotta love, okay? And the poster says, why what have I done? So I've had a big falling out with my mom and the only person I went to da-da-da-da-da. And she goes on to say, for anyone reading, Karen and Kira is my auntie and cousin, and Lee is my current boyfriend, and RH, which means runaway husband, is having a baby with other woman. And now we have all of this. The reason I don't like this is because she's naming people. And I really don't recommend that you do that, because that can come back after you. I mean, I think about, would you think about this? Would you want to be named in somebody's Facebook page, especially if it's adversarial? So she's announcing people, who they are, their relationship to her. Not a good idea. Is this one of the most hateful ones? No. I just think you should keep personal names out of it. Now, I want to look at some of the posts that I have included in my guidebook. And even though I discuss them in the guidebook, I can discuss them even further in this module, because I really want you to get an understanding, hear the inflection in my voice, about how these social media posts are inappropriate and should not be used. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I do want to talk about a few of them. One of them, which I found disturbing, and so you know, wherever we blocked out names and faces, they did not. So the one I want to share with you here said, this is the sort of crap I'm dealing with. #putz. He goes on my Facebook page, reads my post, and tells his attorney he's afraid of me. There are no orders that I'm violating. We both signed an agreement not to post, quote, false derogatory posts, end quote. #idiot. Then she includes, attached is my client's last paycheck information for the year 2017. No other information will be forthcoming. Your client's continuing, meaning her, the poster, defamation of my client in violation of present orders has left him in fear of his life and especially of his job. Her diatribes have already affected his ability to advance. Sincerely. Now, let's really look at this. If you have the guidebook, which you get as part of this program, you may have looked at it and said, oh my goodness, but I really want to dissect this for a moment so you understand the validity of this and how strongly one should not do something like this. First and foremost, she said, there are no orders that I'm violating. The letter says that she is. My client is in violation of present orders. So she is in violation. And then she said, we both signed an agreement to post, not to post derogatory posts. She has #putz, #idiot. Putz and idiot are both considered derogatory comments. We've noted in here in the red that, and we've circled the word defamation because she's defaming with this language, that, and we have noted that this is clearly a communication from an attorney. The attorney wrote this and signed it with the attorney's name. Underneath, she has a notation, get off of my Facebook page, #putz. And then, of course, she says, you know, again, there are no orders that I'm violating. Look, folks, this is pretty bad. She has her face up there, her name, The attorney's signature clearly says she is not violating an order where it's obvious that she is. And then she said she's not defaming, and yes, she is. When you have a relationship with your attorney, there is an attorney-client privilege. This is violating it. What also this tells any judge is she will not follow a court order. She has been given a court order. Both she and her husband have signed it. They are not to defame each other. She goes on Facebook. She posts the letter from the lawyer. The lawyer's name is there. She's saying, I'm not doing any of this. And yes, she is. And she has these hashtags, you know, hashtag putz and hashtag idiot. These are clear violations. She's saying that she's not, but she doesn't have an understanding that she is violating. Well, actually, she does. This would not look favorable to any judge. So if you want to do anything like this, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, please do not put anything from your attorney up on Facebook, because then you are actually implicating your attorney. So you already have animus going on between you and your soon-to-be ex or your ex. Now your attorney is being triangulated into this, and they won't appreciate it at all. So this was definitely a no-go. We have another example of this. Okay, it's in a text. Obviously, they're going back and forth about the children, and one of them says, not what they said. Said you had them for a while. They couldn't tell me how long, but they aren't the ones holding up the process. They said you. Boom. And here we have we, Susan Schoeffer and Associates, have blocked out the pertinent information. What was there is the to, the from, and the signature of the sender from the law firm. The law firm that says, please attach, please find letter and documents that are being emailed to the person's name today. Please review and advise of any other changes. Thank you. The poster wanted some commentary on this letter. So, not a good idea. Not a good idea. Again, the attorney does not want to be mentioned or triangulated at all in this grievance. The next example I want to share is and you can see it on the screen, is I need advice. I have a chance for vengeance. I found messages from my ex to his friend talking about his current girlfriend and how she's out for sex, etc. I went to send the screenshots to her. He spent 8 years ruining me. He told me he was mean hopping. I would see he loved me. That doesn't make sense. I guess that means sense. I want to hurt him. What should I do? Now, take a look at, we've taken out off her face, her name, and the group. We took the group off. But notice somebody commented. Send it. Karma is a bitch. This really kind of made my blood run cold, because this woman is talking about she needs advice. She needs vengeance. She may have found messages from her ex about the girlfriend. Okay, we go back and forth. He ruined her life, so she claims. And okay, whatever goes on doesn't make sense, but she wants to hurt him. What should she do? And somebody agrees with her. What does this look like? I can't say this woman's dangerous or not. Here's what we know. People who shoot up movie theaters and go into schools and shoot up kids very often announce these things on Facebook. We've all seen this. Something happens, a tragedy, and then the investigation begins, and 2 or 3 days later, you hear on the news that they posted on Facebook, they love their guns, they want to shoot a child, they want to kill their ex, they want to go in a movie theater and blow it up, and they do it, okay? They do it, and then somebody says, what, didn't didn't somebody have something to say about what they posted on Facebook? And sometimes authorities have been notified and they didn't get to the right sources in time, and sometimes they haven't. I can't say this woman is dangerous or not, but what she is doing is she is showing that she has some kind of vengeance, some kind of vendetta. She's coming after, she's angry, and she's asking for suggestions from absolute strangers. She doesn't know the mental health of any of those people. She doesn't know if those people are incarcerated. She has no idea who she's communicating with. And she's getting advice from them. And this is what I mean by, these are not your friends. Yeah, okay, you're in a group, but you don't know these people. You don't know where they are in their headspace. You don't know what they've done. This person who says, send it, karma's a bitch, that person may sat in jail for 10 years for coming after somebody. So that's what's really scary about this one. It can be misconstrued in a lot of different ways. Why should she want to have to explain this? If he sees something like this, I can almost assure you, as the sun will rise tomorrow, that this will end up in the hands of his attorney. And then she has a lot of explaining to do. And it's very hard to backpedal from that. Well, I didn't really mean, Your Honor, that I want to hurt him. You know how it is. I'm just upset. And okay, somebody just sent me a benign email and there's their name. And the judge may say, look, yeah, you need to cut that out. And that would be the best answer, the one you would want. But a judge may say, there's anger here. I want you to go to anger management. May decide that if there's children involved, that this is not a person who should be around the children. The children may be in harm's way. This could balloon into some really bad stuff. And that's why we're talking about this now. Just don't send it. This one little, you know, three sentences could create a lot of problems for this poster. This could trickle down to whether she gets custody of her children. If she does get shared custody, does she get supervised visitation? Will the judge see this as, this woman's kind of a loose cannon? Maybe when she's with the children, we need a social worker sitting by her side while she visits with her kids. It could happen, because this looks pretty nasty. It's pretty dangerous sounding. It sounds threatening. So if you're in the mood for something like this, don't do it. If you want to sit around with your girlfriends for lunch over soup and talk about how you hate your ex and you want to hurt them, that's your business. But don't post it like this publicly. The next one I want to look at, I think, is really important. And it is, you will notice, we blocked out the person's name and face. And we also took the child's face off of there and the wounds. And I want to go over this one because you may look at it and say, it's pretty benign, but I want to impress upon you how it's not benign. And that's the purpose of this module. Some of this you could just gloss over and go, okay, what's the big deal? So what? We get very immune and desensitized by what we put up on social media, but the judges don't. And a lot of these things that may look not like it's not a big deal to you have different tentacles when it comes to legalities. And that's what I want to impress on you with this module. And I can see why the attorneys now are on fire. They really are struggling with this social media aspect of divorce. It's new. A lot of the attorneys, when they were going into law school, didn't have to address this. And now it's in their purview. And the judges are hating some of these, all of these postings. And a lot of time, according to the attorneys I had lunch with, they're spending a lot of time weeding through social media and the implications that can arise. It's a whole new part of the divorce process. So I want you to be safe when it comes to posting. And so let's look at this next example. She said, so I picked up the kids this morning from their weekend with their dad that started Thursday. And my almost four-year-old son said that daddy hurt me. She's got that in quotes and pointed to his cheek. And my almost five-year-old daughter said that my ex was hitting my son's arm and she was crying. And my ex told me the other day that our 1.5-year-old wouldn't sleep and she never sleeps good there. So he gave her some sort of sleep aid drink. He doesn't bathe them. He doesn't brush my daughter's hair. And she says the food he gives them is gross. I don't have an attorney. There is zero possibility of me coming up with the money. I don't know what to do. Call the police. Request a welfare check next time. They're with him. Where can I with him when I can't protect them? He told me this morning that he's probably, hopefully, moving to Indiana to do some door-to-door job he's done for the last few summers, and that he'll be coming to Utah to visit the kids once a month. But I hope he dies in a car accident or stops coming or something, and he could just be the hell out of our lives. Okay. All right. So we know two states, Indiana, Utah. She's got her name up there. Okay. Bad news. So let me tell you how this could be sort of okay. Hi, everybody, to the group. Hi, everybody. What do we do in a situation where children look a little bruised up when they come back from the dad and the children are saying he's a little abusive? I don't love that, but that's about as information seeking as one should get in that scenario. But here we have something. She's taken information from a four-year-old and a five-year-old, and she finds out the one-and-a-half-year-old, he complains that they won't go to sleep. Okay, any of us had one-and-a-half-year-olds? They don't go to sleep. It's frustrating. So he gave her some sort of sleep aid. Where'd you hear this? Where did this woman hear that he gave her some sort of sleep aid drink stuff? From the four-year-old, the five-year-old? I mean, could it have been like, we're just going to give you a bottle and hope that soothes you? We don't know. She's making, is this, she just pulling this out of a hat? Could be he gave the child a bottle to soothe her. Or maybe he is giving some drink, but she doesn't know enough. She's taking information from a four-year-old and four-year-olds and 5 years old. Was he wrestling around with the kids? They were playing and one got hurt. That happens. Is he really abusive? Is she asking questions? Should she call the police? Why doesn't she just call the police? Call them. They can take a look at the child. She puts the child's face, a minor child's face, on Facebook. Bad idea. Child could be identified. Even just that little bit of their face that we have covered up can be identified. Is she showing the wound? As a mother of two children who are now adults, I could tell you they had some pretty nasty wounds that had nothing to do with my ex-husband or myself. How many of us that had children that fell down steps, ran into a table, cut their head, needed stitches, fell down and hit their head outside? I mean, it happens all the time. And children are abused all the time, seriously abused all the time. In this case, are the children being abused, or is he just not parenting the way that she wants him to parent? And that's the big thing here. You know, when you're co-parenting with children, sometimes you just have to step out of, you don't like the way your ex co-parents, you just have to put up with it. Doesn't bathe them, doesn't brush their daughter's hair. Well, you know, it's gross. Okay, but is that reason for him not to see the kids? I don't know. The food he gives them is gross. What does that mean? We don't know what that means. So she's really painting a picture that he's a bad guy and he's abusive to the kids. And he could be a bad guy and he could be abusive to the kids. We just don't know. But here's what we do know. She hopes he dies in a car accident or stops coming or something that he can just get the hell out of their lives. So I, as a private investigator, when I read this, let me take my divorce coach hat out of this and I look at this. I say, she doesn't want this dad to be in the kids' lives. In fact, she goes as far as saying she hopes he dies in a car accident. He stops coming on his own accord or something, and he can just be the hell out of their lives. She doesn't want him in their lives. And so what she may do is fabricate a story. She's going to find ways to keep these kids out of their lives. And what better way is the four-year-old said, Daddy hurt me, and the five-year-old daughter said that the ex was hitting his son's arm, he's just crying and doesn't brush the hair. Judges hear false narratives, and you all have heard me use the phrase false narratives before, and I'm using it again here. Judges hear false narratives of abuse all the time when it comes to very young children. two, three, four, five, 7 years old who don't really have the capacity to fabricate, although they're good at lying or being coaxed to lie. And when I say coaxed to lie, something like they come home with a scratch and you go, how did that scratch happen? They don't even know they have a scratch. And you look at it and you go, did you fall down? Yes. Did daddy fall down with you? Yes. Well, when you fell, did daddy push you? Yes. None of that happened, but the child's been led or coaxed to say something that didn't occur. It's called a false narrative. And judges are very familiar with false narratives. So here we have all these claims, nothing real specific. Daddy hurt me and pointed to his chest. Okay, maybe he did point to his chest, maybe pointed to his arm, to his knee. Who knows? The four-year-old, daddy hurt me. Well, children say anything. This poster could have said, did you have fun at daddy's? And the kids went, yeah. Did daddy hurt you? Yeah. Did it rain yesterday? Yeah. And it didn't. I mean, we have no idea. But here's what we do know. We know that she wants him to die in a car accident, doesn't want him around the children. This is a really bad post. This is something that would be very detrimental to her case. This could be something where she would maybe get supervised visitation, or maybe the judge would see as though she is a potential alienator, that she has the potential to create false stories for the children and start it very early at this age, 4 and 5, even 1 and a half, and that this is something that she's setting a stage for. And therefore, she could, I don't know if she could lose custody. I'm not an attorney and I don't know her jurisdiction, but this would definitely not bode well for her. And she could look like a potential parental alienator. So this is not something you want to post, and you definitely don't want to have your child's face anywhere in a post. Before I move on to the next one, I just want to add that more than likely she received a lot of people supporting her rant, and that's really the purpose of this, because she said call the police. We are all rational adults, and I am sure you would call the police if your child came home and there was real evidence. Notice I said the word real evidence, that your child had been abused. Would you immediately go to a Facebook page or later in the day and start posting? Or would you look at your child and say, wow, looks like something really went wrong here this weekend. I need to call the police. This is kind of scary. I want to mention an aside to this while we are looking at this page, but I want you to hear that this is something you have to be very careful of, about when you make these kind of accusations, because these are things that you can't unsay or you can't unsee. And claiming a parent is negligent when they're not, or abusive when they're not, courts get this. This really looks like parental alienation. So again, I can't stress this strong enough, and I know I've belabored this and we are going to move on, but keep children's faces out of it and don't talk about you want your ex to die or not come around again while you are at the same time claiming some kind of abuse. This just won't go well. The next and final example I want to share is also in the guidebook, and it is a letter that a woman typed up lovely. She typed it up for her ex's parents. She's letting them know what a deadbeat he is. And she goes on to say that he hasn't paid child support. Of course, you know, she uses the word deadbeat, and none of them care about the child's developmental milestones. And she goes on about the gifts. She doesn't like them, and then what he stole from her. And she has an itemized list. And the reason I say that this is really disturbing to me, and probably one of the most, and I've seen so many, is that she's writing to her husband's parents. She's putting down their son. That really steps over the line. It drags them into a place where they shouldn't be. She makes a lot of assumptions that the grandparents and the child's father don't care about the child or the child's development. Who makes her the big determining force of how people care and if they care? And yet, she maps it out very clearly that they don't. She also accuses the grandparents and the father of theft. It's pretty tough stuff. Where have they been charged with theft? Has she called the police? Is there a police report? Did they go to court? Did they get charged with theft? No. She's decided that they're thieves, and she posted that they're thieves. And remember, we have blocked out names. So here on social media, on Facebook, she has announced to the group, which is an open group, folks. This is not a private Facebook group like the one we have with this program. This is public. And she's ranting on, and she has a little laundry list of everything. And any of the gifts that they have given, she has downgraded. And again, a gift is a gift. If grandparents walk into the house and give the child a Hershey kiss or a penny, that's a gift. It's not for her to decide or determine what's considered an adequate gift. Now, if something is age inappropriate, I mean, if grandparents walk in the door and give a 12-year-old keys to the car and say, here, go, drive. Well, okay, that's a problem. Or if they give the child a gun, and give an 8-year-old an AK-14. I mean, come on. We know where this is going. She's decided she doesn't like the gifts, and so she's putting them down. She discusses medical bills with the grandparents. They are not part of this. This is between she and their son. They're not privy to it. They didn't contract with the healthcare provider or the insurance company. This is between she and their son, not them. And yet she's dragging them into it. The fact that she calls the son a deadbeat to his parents is pretty bad. So what's the purpose of this letter? Let's think about it. She really trying to cope with these items? Come on. She's not saying, I need these items. These are really important to me, and we need to work something out. She's, you know, someone who steals is no family of his, and y'all's gifts are unwelcome. She has a list. She typed this letter up in this lovely. No, it's not. This is not about these items. I want you to understand this is about standing on her soapbox, letting her in-laws know what she thinks about them, what she thinks about her. Well, let me say this a little differently. What she thinks about their son who they love. She's calling them names. She doesn't like the gifts they give. She is just going on to a rant about how horrible these people are. And she's wonderful. She's fabulous. Look, she writes a letter. I thought, however, more appropriate, you know, the money of, I thought it's what she thinks. Doesn't matter what they think. She just knocks herself out. Now, let me tell you how this may be perceived in a court of law. Not saying 100%, but I look at this with both PI hat, been in court thousands of times. I'm also a certified divorce coach, as you know. And what does this look like to me? Well, it looks like somebody who has a vendetta. It looks like somebody who's elevated herself as the better parent. It also looks like somebody who would be willing to take the grandchildren away from the grandparents. Now, how does that work with judges? A lot of judges are, you know, they've been sitting on the bench for 30, 35, 40 years, and they have grandkids. And the last thing they would want is somebody trying to take their grandkids away from them. This could hit a very personal place with a judge. Why do it? What's the purpose of this? If she really has any issues, if she really has an itemized list, give it to her attorney. Her attorney will address it. She doesn't have to write this rant letter to her in-laws. And by the way, that's what this is. This is a rant letter. If you feel like you need to write to your in-laws or anybody, stop. It doesn't make any sense. And that brings me to the last example. I've written a blog about it. I want to address it before we close, and that is posting anything about the other woman on your Facebook page. It's really bad news. And I see a lot of this. Sometimes people mention their names, and she's a homewrecker. She's a whole litany of comments about this horrible woman who has broken up the marriage. Well, I hate to inform everybody here, but a broken marriage isn't about the homewrecker taking your spouse away, whether it's male or female. Your spouse left. Now, if the alleged homewrecker has all these wonderful attributes or whatever it is to lure them away, okay, so be it. But there's a lot of people who get approached by, quote, homewreckers, end quote, who don't acquiesce. So the spouse has left on their own accord. Homewrecker did not come into the home, take spouse away at gun or knife point. Spouse went willingly. So you may or may not like the homewrecker, but here's the thing. He or she is now with their new love interest. For you to get onto Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or anything and start posting horrible pictures about her, and I see this a lot. Let me tell you what I see. I'm not going to post them because I respect people's faces and their privacy. But I see this all the time. Picture of the other woman and a picture of the poster. And the comment goes like this. Look at this other woman. Sometimes they even put her name up there. Look at her. She is a piece of trash. She looks like human garbage. She's, and then words I don't want to repeat here. Suddenly, can you believe it, folks? I'm not going to use bad language, but and they just go through a litany of terrible things about this person. And what are the remarks? Oh my goodness, the remarks come in. You look so much better. He must be a jerk to want her. Let him have her. Homewreckers should die. And the list just go on and on and on and on of horrible things about the quote homewrecker. So what happens? This quote homewrecker, she's getting bullied. She's getting bullied and she doesn't even know it. People are saying things about her she doesn't even know. Your spouse, your ex-spouse will see this. They will see it. Even if you block them from your Facebook, they will see it. Now, if that's on your Facebook, you can block them. But if it's in this group that you have no access to blocking, it's out there. And if somebody sees it, and they will, I said it twice, and I repeated it twice for a reason, it will get into the hands of somebody you don't want it to get into the hands of. And here's another thing. If this person has children, they can see that. And you may sit there and say, well, she's a homewrecker and they should know who she is. Actually, they shouldn't. They're innocent in this. They should not be dragged in and they shouldn't see anything disparaging about their mother or father. No matter how much you may hate these people, you don't have a right to do that. And you don't have a right to bully them en masse on social media. And if you do, you will see it again. You will see it again from your spouse's attorney. Maybe your attorney will say, what's this? It'll make its way to the courtroom. And then you don't look like you're sad and upset. You look like you're vindictive and you have a vendetta. And then anything that you're being accused of by the other side will start to have some validity. Because look what you've done on social media. So I want to wrap up this module with be very careful on social media. While you are going through a divorce, while you are venting or in a venting mood, while you are hurt and angry And you have every right to be. I'm not asking you to not have those feelings. You have every right to have those feelings. What I want you to do is be safe on social media. Be careful what you post and where. If there's anything that you think is even remotely questionable, don't put it up there. And I hope that this module is very helpful to you. You could see some of the places where you may innocently have thought, well, this doesn't really matter. And now you know that it does. And so use your venting in healthy ways through exercise. If you have to say something, say it privately to one of your friends or a couple girlfriends, or go in your bathroom and scream it if you want to. As I mentioned earlier in the module, send yourself a ranting email. Pretend you're sending it to your ex or anybody, your in-laws, if you hate them, or the other woman and you can't stand her. Okay, send it to yourself. Just don't put it on social media. Be safe on social media. You don't want anything to come back and surprise you.